Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. State Senator Mike Woodard is one of the General Assembly's true energizer bunnies. The three-term lawmaker who represents Durham, Caswell, and Person counties is a thoughtful and outspoken advocate on dozens of important issues, from education to the budget to health care to the legislative process itself. Earlier this week, the senator sat down with me in studio to share his thoughts on several issues, including the big teacher rally that recently took Raleigh by storm, helping teachers and other public employees find affordable housing, the budget and tax debate that's currently front and center at the legislature, and his proposals to make voter registration automatic. Well, Senator Mike Woodard, thanks very much for being with us. Welcome to News and Views.
Great to be back, and I appreciate the invitation.
We're now into the 2018 legislative session, finally. The so-called short session commenced recently, with 20,000 red-clad teachers in the street. Tell us about what it was like the opening day of session.
It was an incredible energy, and the educators, the students and families who came as well, I think really brought the strong message that it's time for us to reinvest in education. Over these last 8 years, we have disinvested in education. We see rankings in many of our educational funding levels continue to drop. Our schools are lacking in so many, many areas. It's not just about teacher salary, but it's about the entire range of resources that we provide public education. So I hope what the march and rally did last week is energize education advocates, and I hope changed a few minds of my colleagues in the General Assembly so that we can get back to North Carolina being a real education state.
Obviously, it's going to be an uphill fight. There are some policies that are sort of written in stone already unless we affirmatively change them. For instance, the fact that we have some new tax cuts ready to go into effect in 2019, corporate income tax, more income taxes on the personal side. Governor Cooper spoke up and said, wait a minute, let's hold off on that for a moment until we get this education thing straight and maybe some other things like state employees and other critical investments. I know it's going to be an uphill fight. Do you think you'll even have a chance to make a case for that?
We're going to make the case. Now, whether or not we're successful is a whole other question. Those of us who support returning to being a big investor in education, we're going to continue to speak out and make the case, not just with our colleagues, but all across the state, and most importantly, with voters. So I commend Governor Cooper and his team for proposing what is a common sense budget that delays these tax breaks for the wealthiest North Carolinians, those making over $200,000, and for a lot of our out-of-state corporations, so that we can get back to supporting those things that make North Carolina such a great state. So in the short session, it's unlikely that a lot of these good ideas are going to move forward. But 2019's coming, and I think you're going to see a real change in the makeup of the General Assembly and a new prioritization of our policies.
Issue that's been I've watched a lot in the many years I've been in Raleigh, and I know you have seen in your three terms now, is the issue of openness and process. It seems to me as if it continues to sort of shut down, that there's even, at least we used to maybe even go through the motions of having committee hearings and having some debate, some sort of opportunity for dissenting voices to at least offer amendments. But it seems it's almost to the point now where we don't even pretend. Senator Berger and Speaker Moore announced even before y'all convened the session, they'd already decided how much money we were going to spend this year. Do you think it's gotten worse?
It feels worse to me. I mean, we were hearing before we even came back that the budget was already decided by, as we call them, the corner offices, Speaker Moore's office, Senator Burr's office, that the budget was already set. I was here for a couple of meetings, and I saw a few other meetings going on behind closed doors that were clearly budget discussions. And there's no place for our input as the minority party. Don't forget, even as the minority party, we still represent about 4.5 million North Carolinians in our districts. Those voices are silenced. And the people in general don't get to speak on the budget. And we've heard all kinds of rumors about it may be a conference report and
Which would mean there couldn't even be amendments.
There's no amendment, one up or down vote, right, and can go through committees quicker. So we expect to see the budget late this week, maybe early next. You know, we're hearing that it's going to be fast tracked, that we could be voting on a budget within a week and a half or two at the most.
Aside from the budget, there are some other issues that will be debated this session in the General Assembly. You've had some creative ideas down through the years. One that you've introduced recently is this idea of providing affordable housing for teachers in your home area.
One of the challenges in particularly our larger cities, our urban cities, is the question of affordable housing, and it's becoming more and more difficult as these cities grow, as rents, as housing prices grow, go up in some of these cities, it's a lot harder for public employees, teachers, firefighters, police officers to live in the communities in which they work. So you're having to find that they have to move out of town and drive in a half an hour from a place where they can find affordable housing. This isn't original in Durham. Some other cities have done this as well. But Durham Public School Board, recognizing that we want more and more of our teachers to live in Durham and to frankly find a way to just another way we can reward our teachers is to provide affordable housing. So our bill would give county government the authority to purchase and develop a piece of land adjacent to one of our school sites already owned by the county and turn it into affordable housing, not just for teachers, but for school employees, librarians, custodians, those people who make the school run. As I said, it's worked well in some other communities. We think it's going to be ideal for Durham. I look forward to getting that passed this session and starting this really good idea.
I know since you've been a senator, you've actually spent some time in schools being a teacher for a day and a principal, even a TA for a day. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of those experiences?
I have to tell you, doing those 3 days, I started as a TA. Then one of my superintendents in my district said, well, come be a teacher for a day. And when I've done this, I didn't show up for a second period civics class and talk to students. I showed up at 7:30, met the school buses. I did lunch duty. And so it was incredible as a TA in the kindergarten class, teaching ninth grade English all day. And at 3:30, I just collapsed and kicked off my shoes and just let out a sigh. And the teacher I was with that day said, what are you going to do now? I said, go home and take a nap. I'll never forget it. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I got about a half hour of paperwork, and then I'm going to my second job. And so I was going home to crash. He had to go work another job. Then one of the principals in the district said, well, if you've done all that, you need to be principal for a day. And if you want to see where public education in our state is now, go follow a principal for a day so you can see the inner workings of a public school. It was the most incredible eye-opener to see the full range of things that happen in a school. And not just our teachers now, but how undervalued our principals are, both in terms of pay and in terms of respect. They are the CEO for a school where we've turned over hundreds of our children. And if we trust these educators with our kids, many times more than their home in a day, then we need to start investing, you know, in that place where we put our trust. It was just eye-opening. I wish every one of my colleagues could go and spend a day full day in a school with a teacher or principal and see what it's like.
Yeah, I hope they take you up on that. Our time is limited, but there's a couple of other issues I wanted to touch on. You've introduced legislation on automatic voter registration. Talk to us about that, the fact that this would perhaps be a way to get more North Carolinians participating in voting, which continues to be an issue even in these contentious times.
13 states now do this. When young people turn 18, they're automatically registered. They become voters and they get a card that says, congratulations, you're a voter. Part of it is being able to go online and then make a party declaration or remain unaffiliated. And then at any point when a resident of North Carolina touches their government, they register for a class at a university or community college, they go receive a housing benefit or a DMV, of course, where we do that now. But instead of it opt-in, it's an opt-out process. So you're automatically a voter when you declare residency or interact with your government in North Carolina. We've seen voter participation increase in the states that have done it. Oregon was the first. They increased their voting rolls by a large amount, and voter participation in subsequent elections has just been outstanding. And we've seen a lot of other states do it. West Virginia was the second. And I think, you know, if I look to my friends across the island and say, if we can get a bipartisan effort in West Virginia, then we ought to be able to do it in North Carolina.
Speaking of doing things online, another issue that you've taken some leadership on recently is the issue of net neutrality, which is a very contentious issue at the national level. There's actually been recently some action, and I guess it was in the U.S. Senate, to sort of push back against the effort to do away with net neutrality. You and Senator Chaudhry of Wake County on this issue. Talk to us a little bit about where that stands.
You know, I think the Obama-era administration's policy of net neutrality was one that would protect the Internet for not just the business users, but for all folks, and kept an open Internet. The fear now under Chairman Pai and the FCC, who took action back in December to get rid of this net neutrality rule of the Obama administration, now gives me great concern that the big ISPs, the AT&T, the Comcast of the world, will begin to take over the internet and quiet the voices that seem troublesome to them.
Favored people get higher speed access.
That's right. And there are a lot of different terms. Throttling is one of the most common terms, is that, you know, if I can control the internet and I see an independent voice out there that's using the internet in an effective way to get out a message that I don't like, then we slow it down. Mm-hmm. You're going to see big corporations fighting each other already. Netflix, for one, Google for another, on the other side of this issue from the AT&T Comcast. They want to keep net neutrality because they see the value in being able to provide a wide range of voices on the internet. So it's a real concern that I have. Senator Chaudhry shares that. We're drafting our bill now to follow some other states that have stepped into this. Governor Bullock in Montana has been a real leader in this, been in conversation with him about that. So it's important for us to maintain a free, open internet, to encourage more voices, not fewer, and to let the people control what really started as a government project. Folks seem to forget that.
Right.
With the older RAPNet, I think it was called.
Right.
And so to not commercialize it or turn it over to the monopolies.
I wish we could go on all day. Thank you very much for being with us. The people of Durham, Person, and Caswell counties are very lucky to have such a thoughtful and caring senator representing them in the General Assembly. We appreciate your kind work.
I'm very proud of the three counties I represent and really love working with all of them. It's great being here.
We'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Up next, one of North Carolina's leading voices in the fight to end gerrymandering. Stay with us.